Next Train Outback Ministries, we are shareholders in that ministry, amen. And so we share in the reward and the effectiveness of that ministry. And I think that's a tremendous investment. Amen. Okay, the children are going to their own revival. Praise God. Amen. Okay, so we're going to have you guys going to sort of organize that, and then you can come back. Is this okay? You happy with that? We're going to do that. Praise God. All right. Nobody getting nervous? This is all good. We're doing business for the King. Amen? Jesus said, occupy till I come. That word occupy actually is it's a commercial term. It means do trade. Do business. We're doing business for the King this morning. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I have a lot of scriptures this morning, and I didn't give you the list. But you can open up Acts chapter 16. Praise God. If you wanted to put something in for next week, that's okay. You know, again, if you just earmark it next week and say, look, this is for Australian Outback Ministries, we want to help them with a laptop and a camera. Amen. Not one of those little Kodak moment things, but I mean a proper camera. Amen? Yeah, that's right. I always believe in sowing good things. I have found if you sow rubbish, guess what? What your harvest is. Rubbish. Who wants a rubbish harvest? Not me. I love it. Brother Copeland, whenever he gives an airplane away, he gets it reconditioned. He gets the engine all overhauled. He gets the radar system brought up to speed. And wow, he sews an airplane better than when he got it himself. No wonder he's flying a $6 million airplane himself. People get upset about that, but there's some good seed that's gone in the ground for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Great lessons to be learned. Okay. Praise God. I've been studying the book of Acts, and I have to be honest with you, the longer I study this, the more that I'm becoming convinced that these early believers had a different brand of Christianity. They were seeing the power of God in their lives in a way that just made it normal. Their Christianity, the way I see that in the book of Acts, and I've been studying it now for the last 3 or 4 weeks intensively. I mean, I always study the word, but I've been focusing specifically on the book of Acts. And the longer I look at it, the more that I'm convinced that these believers lived their Christian life in such a way that the power of God and the intervention of God was commonplace. And I believe what has happened over the centuries, we have been handed down a Christianity that is so limited to the place where a lot of things are no longer happening in church life. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? We hear a gospel that says God will forgive your sins, and that's true. But that's not all that Jesus came to do for us. Jesus came to bring back the kingdom of God in such a way that it would transform people's lives in his day. What we have received many times is a gospel that says, wait till you die or wait for the millennium. And that is not the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is, what is it? Repent. That means change the way you think about God and change the way you do life. Expect God to break in to everyday circumstances where you see His power displayed and where you experience the way it is in heaven becoming reality on earth. Jesus taught us to pray, Your will be done, O God, on earth as it is in heaven. Is there any sickness in heaven? And he flew. Maybe somebody, you know, have a little bit of a sneeze now and then. None. Jesus says, you are to pray that that will become your experience on earth. Now that's the kind of Christianity that these people are living in the book of Acts. I believe that God's put that in here. He wanted that book of Acts in there so that you and I have a benchmark of the way that our Christian life is supposed to be. If it isn't, then it's just really a waste of the pages there, isn't it? If the book of Acts was written as an account of something that is no longer for today, as something that has now passed away with the passing of the apostles, then really, what's the reality, what's the real reason for that being there? I don't see any. People that have said, you know, well, yes, that was for that time, that's what they needed, but now God has given doctors. If that is the case, we may as well not have a book of Acts. But the reason it's there is so that God says, hey, whatever your life's like, I want it to measure up to what I've put in my word. And if it isn't, believe me for change so that you begin to walk in and begin to have an experience of the way that these people experience me. Now, that's sort of my introduction for today. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 16, and we'll pick it up in verse 6. This is Paul and Barnabas, and they're traveling through different places. They've been sent out from Antioch. They're going through to different places, and it says now in verse 6, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Now that's interesting to me. Jesus said, go in all the world and preach the gospel. They come to a particular place and the Holy Spirit actually, the Bible says, forbids them to go there and preach the gospel. They go to the next place, and they're not allowed to preach there either. The point is this. They were busy doing what God had told them to do. They weren't sitting at home waiting for, you know, a special call. And what I find fascinating here is that being led by the Spirit many times happens while you're doing things. While you're on your way, doing the will of God, there now is a leading. Nearly 2 years ago now, we came to Toowoomba, and it was the outcome of about a 12-month journey where, you know, we'd been unsettled for some time on the Gold Coast. We knew God wanted us to move on, but it wasn't clear where. And you know, I would pray about it, and I try to just kind of just say, well, maybe I'm just going through a phase where I'm just not happy and I just got to get over it. And you know, but it didn't go away. You know, when you got an itch, you cannot scratch. It's just one of those things. You try different things. And finally, when we got in contact with Brother Steve Darby, I said to Danielle, how about we go to Thailand and check it out? Maybe that's something that we could do. You said, did God call you to do it? No. I said, we'll make it a nice holiday, which it was. And I said, well, we'll have a look at what Steve's doing. At that point, we weren't really supporting him or anything. We were in the church on the Gold Coast. He would come through now and then. We sort of befriended him and helped him out with some things. And so, you know, I said it would be a nice thing. And we talked about it. He said, yeah, come over. We'll have a great time. So we went over there. And really what was in my heart is maybe God wants us to be missionaries in Thailand. I went ahead and did a course, a TESOL course, on how to teach English to overseas speaking learners of other languages. And so, you know, I did a lot of things in kind of preparation to maybe go to Thailand. I told my kids, we may be moving to Thailand. Well, when we got to Thailand, you know, it was like nothing. There was nothing in my heart that said that. And the Lord did speak after about a week or so and began to show us that really He wanted us to help Steve to do his job better. And at that time, I didn't quite know how that was going to happen because we were part of another church, but we definitely weren't running that church. And so God knew something that was going to come up ahead, obviously. So the trip was worthwhile, but it wasn't that. It was almost like the Lord says, no, this is not for you. You're not supposed to be here. And so we came back, and then some other things happened, and then Ruth had moved to Toowoomba, Ruth Chai. And so we visited her, and then God began to speak about some things. And so what I'm saying is that many times, to be led by the Spirit, it is important that you are active in your Christian life. If you're passive, many things that God has for you will not happen. But by the very activity of being busy with things, God will begin to bring things about and bring you into the place where He wants you to be. We say it sometimes this way. You know, we nowadays have cars with power steering, and that's enjoyable, is it not? But some years ago, cars didn't have power steering. You remember when you had to park your car and you had to, like, you know, do a major workout, you know, to get that steering wheel around it and to force it into that way and then that way? Well, we say it is easier to steer a moving car. Meaning, it is very difficult spiritually to know the leading of the Lord if you're not moving, if you're stationary, if you're parked by the side of the road, so to speak, spiritually. And so what we see with Paul and with Barnabas, they were on the move, and in doing so, they now receive the leading of the Spirit. Something very interesting happened this morning. We had our little prayer groups, as you know. We meet here quarter to ten. And in our little group, there was Ross, and there was Brother Les as well. And we're just praying and praying about and just waiting on the Lord about some things. As we're doing that, I feel impressed by the Lord about, you know, some of you experiencing sickness in your body and the fact that, you know, I really have a desire to see this church walk in wholeness, all of you, because I see it in Scripture. And so Jesus healed them all, and He hasn't changed. So that, I want that to be our experience. I want this to be a sickness-free zone, so to speak. That people that walk into this church, either they get healed walking in or they get healed walking out, but they don't stay sick. Can you say amen? Because it's the will of God. It's something that I see in Scripture. So I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about this. Ross is sitting there praying in tongues. He's got a good, strong tongue when he prays in tongues. As he prays in tongues, I hear him say in English, command it to be so. And I look at him, and he looks at me as if to say, what? And I said, did you just say that? And he goes, I'm not quite sure. I said, you said, command it to be so. But then I realized, no, he didn't say that. He was praying in tongues. But what I heard coming out of his mouth wasn't what he said. But it was somehow. Does that make sense? Now, what I'm saying is that we're doing things. We're praying, and we're on the move. We're going places, and as we're doing that, God's beginning to give little nuggets of truth that will bring us further into where He wants us to be. And then during the worship, I had this picture, and I saw Sue laying hands on the sick and just telling the devil to clear off. And I thought, ooh, I like this. So that's why I called her out. And I believe that she's going to be a mighty woman of God. She is a mighty woman of God, but we're going to see a lot of things happen through that ministry gift operating in her life. I believe it. I believe it. I want to read something to you out of the life of John G. Lake. How many of you heard of John G. Lake? John G. Lake was born in 1870, so that's some time ago now. He lived a fairly short life. He died in 1935, so he's only 65. But he did a lot. I mean, he may have had a short lifespan, but his light was shining very bright. He shares an instance in his life where he'd been praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read it to you. is John G. Lake speaking. It's around about the turn of the century, probably around about 1910 or so, before he went to Africa. He said, I prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for 9 months. And if a man ever prayed honestly and sincerely in faith, I did. Finally, one day, I was ready to throw up my arms and quit. I said, Lord, it may be for others, but it is not for me. You just cannot give it to me. I didn't blame God. One night, a gentleman by the name of Pierce said, Mr. Lake, I've been wanting for a long time that you would come over and we would spend a night in prayer together. We have been praying for the baptism for a whole year, and there's not one of us baptized yet. Brother, I do not believe that you are either. So we can pray for one another. I was so hungry to pray, so I went with all intentions of praying for the rest. But I had not been praying for 5 minutes until the light of God began to shine around me. I found myself in the center of an arc of light 10 feet in diameter. The whitest light in all the universe, so white. Oh, how it spoke of purity. Then a voice began to talk to me out of that light. The voice began to remind me of this incident and that incident, of disobedience to my parents as a child, of my stubbornness in dozens of instances. Then God brought me up to the line of absolute putting my body, soul, and spirit upon the altar forever. I'd had my body upon the altar for 10 years, and I had been a minister of the gospel. But when the Lord comes, He opens to the soul the depths that have never been touched in our lives. Do you know that after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, things opened up that had never been touched in all my life? What had been shadowy and distant and hazy became real. God got up close and let His light shine through me. Shortly after this experience, one afternoon, a fellow minister called and he invited me to accompany him to visit a lady who was sick. Arriving at the home, we found the lady in a wheelchair. All her joints were set with inflammatory rheumatism. That's where your body also suffers with fever and constant pain. She had been in this condition for 10 years. While my friend was talking to her, preparing her that she might be healed, I sat in a deep chair on the opposite side of the room. My soul was crying out to God in a yearning too deep for words. Suddenly it seemed that I passed under a shower of warm tropical rain. It wasn't falling upon me, but through me. My spirit, soul, and body experienced a deep, still calm such as I'd never known in my mind, which had always been active. It became completely still. And all of the presence of God settled over me. I knew this was God. Some moments passed, I do not know how long. Then the Spirit said, I have heard your prayers. I've seen your tears. You are now baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then currents of power began to rush through my being, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. The shocks of power increased in frequency and intensity. Currents of power would pass through me, upon my head, through my body, and through my feet into the floor. Even after so many years, the awe of that hour rests upon my soul. That never-ceasing fountain has flowed through my spirit, soul, and body, day and night, bringing salvation and healing and the baptism of the Spirit in the power of God to multitudes. Shortly after my baptism in the Holy Spirit, a new work of the Spirit began in me, and I saw mankind through new eyes. They seemed to me as wandering sheep, having strayed far in the midst of confusion, groping and wandering. They had no definite aim and did not seem to understand what the difficulty was or how to return to God. The desire to proclaim the message of Christ and demonstrate His power to save and bless grew in my soul until my life was swayed by this overwhelming passion. I experienced a new operation of the gifts of the Spirit, God flowed through me with new force. Healings were of a more powerful order. Oh, he says, God lived in me. God manifested in me. God spoke through me. My spirit was energized. I had a new understanding of God's will, a new discernment of spirit, and a new revelation of God in me. Then a new wonder manifested. My heart became so sensitive that I could lay hands on any person and tell what organ was diseased and to what extent. In great detail, I tested it. I went to into hospitals where doctors could not diagnose a case, touched a patient, and instantly I knew the organ that was diseased, the extent, the condition, and the location. How amazing is this? He calls that the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's not the sort of baptism in the Holy Spirit that I'm accustomed to. I've been taught that when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues. We're not saying that that's not true. Just as when you get baptized in water, you do get wet, but that's not the reason for the exercise. I believe that there's something in the baptism of the Holy Spirit that you and I haven't touched. But these guys in Acts have touched it. They walked in it. When I look at the life of Peter, somebody who was accustomed to opening his mouth at the wrong time, when I see him on the day of Pentecost, he's the one who stands up. And the same fearful, denying disciple of Jesus now speaks with power to the point that 3,000 souls are saved. And you know what? They're making the altar call. What do we do to get saved? Now, hear me out. I'm not saying this to condemn anybody. What I believe God wants to do is whet our appetite. I believe that, you know, God never comes along to beat us with a stick and say, you naughty kids, you know, what are you doing? I believe it's more to awaken us to say, God's saying, I got so much more for you. My picture of you in this hour is so much more, so greater, so much more powerful, so much more with an intimacy in Him. Where the church is going to function just like we see the book of Acts. We see Christians functioning in such a powerful, real way. Who is the most normal Christian that you can think of? Before you answer that question, you know who's the most normal Christian who ever walked this earth? Jesus. That's normal Christianity. And he said, the works that I do, that's nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. That's what he said. That's paraphrased. But he says, the works that I do, you're going to do much greater works than these. Because I'm going to go to the Father. And in this partnership of me sitting at the right hand of God and you walking on earth, he says, the world has never seen anything like it. We are the body of Christ. We are his hands and feet. We are his mouthpiece. I cannot imagine that Jesus went to the cross and died there so that we can have church services till he comes back. Surely it must be bigger than that. Can I have an amen? I'm going to close soon. I promised I would only be short. But I really want to challenge you. You know, we're going to come into, you know, this last meeting for this and Christmas closing meeting for that. Don't take a holiday from Jesus, would you? Keep your spirit alive. Keep the fire burning. Let this be a time over this season where you draw closer to God and don't just kind of, you know, spiritually kind of take a holiday. Make a decision to study some things. Get into the Word. Become a dangerous Christian. Amen? Take some risks and watch God come through. I believe that this coming year, we're going to see far greater things than this year. I'm not just saying that prophetically because it's in line with what he said. He said we're going to go from glory to glory. He said of the increase of his government, He didn't say of his government, of the increase of his government, there will be no end. It is normal for 84-year-old Christian ladies to move in more power than when they were 24. Glory to God. Paul says, though the outward man is perishing, what? The inward man is increased more and more and more. You should be radiating with the power of God by the time you get to the end. Amen? We're not going to go out with a fizzle. We're going to go out with a bang. Amen. When Jesus returns, he's not going to come for a church that kind of finally has run out of any ideas of how to entertain the crowds. No, he's going to come back for a church that is so powerful that he finally says, I can't stand it any longer. I want my bride. Amen. What we stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Father, we're overwhelmed, Lord, with what we see in your word. And Lord, that gives us a hunger to have the same. When we read about the lives of other people even 100 years ago, John G. Lake and Smith Wigglesworth, Charles Finney, all these men of God, Lord, that were no different to us, and in many ways they knew less, had less revelation. Father, I pray that as a church, as your people, Lord, that we will begin to hunger and thirst like never before. Lord, your word says that we are blessed. Jesus, you said we are blessed when we hunger and thirst for righteousness because it's the only thing that satisfies. And Father, I pray that that will become the quest and the passion of our hearts as a church, that we will truly begin to walk in the works of Jesus, that you may be glorified, that truly you may be seen in your church. We ask this in Jesus' name and we thank you for it. And everyone said, amen. God bless you.